Oh, Lord, there's so much, and we've really been hearing the Lord right now already. And so I'm going to just encapsulate what's been going on so that you'll get to go to your story and discover the story God's releasing to you, that he's been speaking over you. Part of going to London about 4 weeks, 5 weeks ago, I heard the Lord say, I'm sending you so that to redeem the songs that have been sung so they can hear the song I'm now singing. A lot of times we start a journey through the singing or through the praying or through the hearing and through the faith, and then the journey takes us in unpredictable ways, which we never planned on and certainly wouldn't allowed or and probably wouldn't have signed up for if we knew that was coming with it. But he never tells us what's going to happen. He just tells us who's going to happen. And we fall in love with Jesus and we say yes. We don't know where the yes is going to take us. We don't know what it's going to cost us, but it will cost us everything in some form or another. The precious things will be turned over because we have to trust him when we are in conflict with him. And so I believe there is something about the ransomed of the Lord. In Isaiah 35, it says, the redeemed of the Lord are the only ones that get to go on the highway of holiness, and it will be the ransom of the Lord returning to Zion with singing and joy and laughter instead of sorrow and sighing. So the thing about being ransomed is means you've got somewhere you didn't want to be. You were captured in some form you didn't plan to be. You were put aside in a fashion you weren't prepared for. So your redeemer comes. You don't redeem slaves. You sell them. You buy them. But you redeem sons. And all of us having become sons through faith in Jesus Christ and said, yes, I believe, and began the journey to follow after him, we'll find ourselves in need of redemption, someplace where we are going to learn who Christ is in conflicting circumstances that we weren't prepared for, to which we'll spend first most of our energy to get out of, until finally when we realize nothing I'm doing is working, we'll just say, well, I want to know you anyway. I'm not going to hold you hostage because things didn't go the way I planned. I'm just going to turn my attention back to you. And then this is where the life starts to change. This is where everything begins to go into maturity, because the voice of the Lord now can be heard for what the voice of the Lord is the awakening of the heart, is the bringing us into maturity. But it's a hope factor. And in the Wednesday night, I took a good amount of time talking to Joshua 5 and 6 and 7 and what happens in that quietness of listening and hearing the trumpet. And Jesus is indeed, what he does is when you hear his voice, he speaks in promise. He speaks toward, I'm going to, I want to, this is what I'm going to do, this is who you're going to become, this is what's going to happen in your future. You may see it in as you read in the Bible and a scripture comes alive and you go, I want that. I'd love to do that. I'd give anything to have that experience. You ever said that? Well, you will, and you did, and here we are. We're together. It's a feeling. It's a song that you sang, and all of a sudden the song just became not your song, but it really became your song. It became an anthem, and you sang it over and over again, and surrendering over and over again, giving permission, starting a journey. It's prophecy where someone might have called you out and said, the Lord's going to do this in your life, maybe when you were a little kid, or maybe when you're giving up on everything, and all of a sudden God starts to speak. It calls us out of the funk back into the fun. It's the joy of the Lord that is pregnant with the Holy Spirit, as righteousness, peace, and joy is the kingdom which we live in. And if we're in the kingdom, then we will always be breathing the atmosphere of the kingdom, just like we would breathe and feel the joy and the peace and the righteousness, which then allows us to know all is well, and I will advance, and I can continue in my quest, and I can trust him. But the maturing comes, having heard, having seen or received, is that when the test comes, Because after we've heard, there comes a testing, not because God wants to make sure we're tested. It's just the devil wants to make sure we lose what we heard. He's committed to take away the good thing that you've been given. He sees the value of what you heard more than we understand the value of what we just received. We don't understand how valuable it is, so we then often are overwhelmed and we lose that. And then, but God is faithful and comes back again and says, this is who you are. This is what I'm going to do. This is where I'm going to take you. This is what's going to become of you. This is my promise. And so this dance, learning to listen and hear and then not let go as quickly, but the pressure seems to increase, so you don't know how to hold it, and then you let it go again. The process is not for us to finally get to a place we never let go, but it's the process to find that he never lets go, where our trust is not in our ability to respond, but his ability to perform. That's what Sukkot is, a celebration of the Feast of the Tabernacles, is that he is Lord. He is able to fulfill promises he makes, even generational promises. So we come into these moments, and the heart has to start to awaken. When you're no longer trying to get out of your prison, you settle in to go, okay, well, I'll live in the place with Christ, and I'll enjoy it. And soon your prison turns into a place of headquarters, of life, of delight. It's because this life is now coming from the outside. It's coming from the inside. And then the Lord begins to say, I've got a company of people, and we are this company of people. We are, you are, you, we, everyone in this room are a company of Christ carriers who have received precious words of life. Some may be just starting. Maybe you've just a couple years into the faith. You're just like, or you returned after a lot of years away from the faith, or maybe you're like that 11th hour worker that you're just kind of like mad as tacks about everything, but you're still here. Everybody's still here. And many are coming. Oh, so many are coming. Many will be returning. Many are coming. Because the Lord does not allow his sons and daughters to go through the testing in order to just be defeated. He allows the testing because he's committed to make us overcomers. And And the testing is overcoming isn't that you conquered something, you just endured it. You didn't give up. Like Jesus endured the cross. If he would have conquered the cross, he would have come off of it. But if he came off of it, we wouldn't be here today. So there's things that God asks us to walk through that we didn't choose them, and we don't understand them. We don't even know what they mean, but we're just, here we are. But then the endurance, there comes this like authority transfer, this place of grace, this place of freedom. Because you found, and I found, we found Christ is sufficient. He is enough. He's more than enough. And all of a sudden, we have an awareness that he could do that, and he can do this. The whole chaos of the world right now is not because we failed. It's because we're praying so good. Because God is creating a backdrop to create a new sound that's going to break through the earth. Just like on creation, redemption. You know, in the day of creation, there was chaos without form and void. There was Holy Spirit brooding over everything. And then God spoke, Jesus said, let there be light. And the word came forth. It's still the same. God, Holy Spirit's brooding. God is ready to speak. We're the chaos. We're the, like, I don't know where this is going to go. I don't know how to get out of where I am. But I know that God is going to complete what he said. And the value of the word, the value of his hearing him. And I just want to pray this prayer over us as we close, that the next 10 days that we take time to listen, however you do it, so you don't have to do it the way I did it. It's just that you're inclining to listen to him speak over you and over the parts of your life that you have stewardship in and you care for and people you love. And places you want to be, and things God has said, and you're not trying to say, how do I get there? You're trying to just listen to, again, it says in Hebrews chapter 4, that today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. The awakening of a heart is to allow the voice of God to speak beyond a possibility, overriding the impossibility, and begin to agree with the ability of God. So God comes to us in our impossibility, where we have lost our place, and speaks of the possibilities that he's about to do. And we step into that place of agreement. And I believe that we will look back on the days that we've went through, and we'll say, do you remember the days when we had to carry the promise so tightly, when we had to submit so continually, where there was more confusion than answers, when there was more sorrow than joy, when it seems like all our beauty turned to ashes and our hope became evaporating? Do you remember the days? And you'll say, yeah. But do you also remember? It's when we learned to hear his voice. We learned to live under his words spoken over us. It's when we were humble and knew who we really were, that we were not capable, nor were we able, nor would we have to be responsible. But it was all because of Jesus and what he had accomplished, and he was going to do it. Do you remember? We were no longer grasshoppers looking at giants. Now we stared at walls and thought, you're coming down. You're coming down. You're not going to stop. Yeah. But the tender discussions, the conversations will be very, very powerful. You did not go through what you've been through just to close life here. What I want to suggest you listen for is the overwhelming faith, hope, and love of God over our life. He's looking at you and me, and he's saying, I'm not powerless to finish what I promised. In fact, I have all the ability to do what I promised. So let me speak over you all the things I said again. And the freshness of the faith comes alive. Wow, why not? Why not? Whether you're 90 or 9, it doesn't matter. You still have something that God is going to break forth. But if it pulls the pain out, but the last time that happened, it was so... I don't want to go into that disappointment again. Turn it back to Jesus. This is the healing place. My broken heart needs to be healed, because otherwise I'll shrink back. So it's a healing process. It's a cleansing process. It's a circumcision of the heart. It's listening for I love you. I have purpose for you. I have plans. And then as you hear, imagine. What might that be like? I know that a lot of times when we first heard God, we knew exactly what it meant, didn't we? We knew exactly what he was going to do, just the way he was going to do it. He was going to use us for sure because we were so special. And then later we realized, I think I blew my special part. So we're not so concrete in our hope. We're fluid. Holy Spirit loves chaos. He loves chaos. That's why he enjoys his job, because he gets to hang out with us. And so rather than going, I got to control. See, this is when God looked at chaos, he had two choices. He said, I can invest and allow Holy Spirit to move in the midst of all this upheaval and convoluted mess, lies, complications. I'm just gonna let it go until because I am God, I know when a perfect time to release light. Light be. It's like the shout or like the declaration God will give you. The problem is that you could have solved it quickly. It would be just instead of light be, would have been control, force, demand. And there wouldn't have been the response of the dance and the song and the stars that began to sing and the whole of creation that came forth alive in a whole brand new rebirth. Imagine what it's going to be like when we are reborn, when we've been rescued again When we are like those who turn from captivity, our captivity turned, and we're like those who dream, and our mouth is filled with laughter, our tongue is full of singing, and the Lord, everybody's looking at us going, God's done something wonderful for you. You go, we know it. Oh, it's going to make Jesus the most attractive name on the earth and the most beautiful invitation to the world. People are going to go everywhere to find this Jesus who's all of a sudden reappeared in his church. Reappeared, because all of a sudden his church is no longer functioning in all of its funk. It's alive. We've learned to be, we're okay being dysfunctional, but we're not trying to make our dysfunction yours. We're just enjoying this celebration of liberation and freedom and joy, and we're full of laughter and song and sighing. Beloved, I know. I can't even get away from the prophecies that just keep rolling up inside of me. There is such a determination on the heart of the Father to come and liberate the sons and daughters so he can set the world free. But he can't change the earth until he frees his sons and daughters. We're the ones that need the liberation. I'm the one that wants the freedom. I'm the one that wants to be healed. But not so that I can be like you or you be like me, but so we can be free to be who we are called to be. Free to be you, free to be me, free to engage and believe and touch and receive and enjoy, and then have the confidence that when someone comes, we can say, come, come, come. Drink, whoever, whatever desires, take of the water of life freely, and we will have, it will be so wonderful. But we won't, first we drink, first we get to come, first we get to enjoy. I really believe in the stillness of the smallness of his voice, he's recalibrating us, healing us, restoring, and so don't be afraid of the silence. Don't be afraid of pain. Don't be afraid of memories that you'd rather not go to because you really don't think there's a resolution for. There really isn't. We're not solving problems. We're redeeming sons and daughters. God's redeeming. When redemption comes, he just says, I have need of you. Come. This is your time. Come forth. Follow me. Let's go. Freedom. And our heart, like the Shulamite, maybe we resist, but then we say, I can't. I'm going after him. Maybe we can't find him when we first get out, and we find ourselves back in the abuse, and we think, oh, I'm never going to get a change until somebody finally says, well, what in the world are you all upset about? Who is his beloved? And then you start to tell him, you want to know who my beloved is? Oh, beloved, if you don't know what your promises are, tell Jesus who he is. If you don't know what's the future, I don't think I'm clear on that, just start to tell Jesus who he is. Jesus, you are more gentle than the wind over the ocean on a calm day. You're more beautiful than all of the gold of the earth and all the fame that man could have. You're strong that you can be gentle. You're courageous. You're victorious. You are awesome, powerful. You've redeemed me, saved me. You've healed me. I've got to tell you the best part. You don't have to own any of it. You don't have to prove any of it. You could be sick. You say, oh, you've healed me. You could be tired. Oh, you're my strength. You could be under the troubles of life and you go, oh, you're the grace that keeps me singing. You're my joy. And the more you tell who Jesus is, the more who Jesus becomes for you, the more you become who Jesus is. It's just that simple. The more you tell who Jesus is, the more Jesus becomes who you tell he is, and the more you become who you call him to be. You transform with him. Praise is like carrying buckets of water up a ladder to give to God, and it splashes back on you, and next thing you know, you're being influenced by the praises you're giving. You're calling him kind, all of a sudden you're expecting kindness. You're calling him full of joy, and next thing you know, instead of yelling at the situation, you start chuckling. you're calling him a patient, and you're just all of a sudden feeling, I don't know, just longevity. I don't know why, what's the matter? He is for you what you need him to be. And we don't have to know all the details. It's not strategy. That's what the whole speckle book's about. The speckle came out at a very hard time in my life, the beginning of a very long, hard time in my life. And we were at the Feast of Tabernacles, that 2000. Yeah, 2001, and we had gotten to a place I had to lay off 3 pastors. I, at the time, wanted to be a good leader. I wanted to be like Jesus. It's all I ever wanted to do ever since I met him. So I thought, well, I'll make the hard decisions. Talk to the church council. The council agreed. We were running out of money. We couldn't sustain the debt. So then I went and talked to the 3 and said, I'm sorry. One, I wanted to stay. We gave him a stipend, but it did. That seemed like a rejection. So he said no. We had a widow that was going to stay. I couldn't sustain, but I would pay her for 6 months. And then I had another one that I needed to release with a, and it created a violent emotional reaction. This ripples, and I didn't know that I should have been talking to everybody about the family business, that we were in a difficult time and here things were going to happen if we don't get a change of time. I didn't know any of that. And so then came the accusations, and oh, this is because you didn't do what you were supposed to do, and you failed here. And we were involved in every form of prayer and intercession in the state, traveling, all we do. It was like a moment of just like fizz. And I went to a prayer meeting, and as I walked into the prayer meeting, or as I left my house, the Lord said, there once was a man who knew what God wanted to do. He saw it so clearly. He knew exactly what God wanted to do. And I thought, wow. And there was just a couple worshipers, so I started just writing longhand. That's what I did back, no phones back then. And for 2.5 hours, I just wrote this phenomenon of revelation, the power of revelation to kill and to bring back life, to illuminate God and ourself. And what happens when we see what we see as the outcome of what God wants to do, rather than understand the process of it's always his and always will be his, and God let things, seeds fall in the ground and die and so forth. So it would take me 3 years till I could volitionally release the revival that I had watched go, I'm back unto the Lord, because I could finally hear him say, unless a seed falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, that's emphasis, John 7, it bears much fruit. I wrote an allegorical revelation by hand. 3 years later, I would actually be able to give it back to God. Because God said simply to me, he said, Steve, the seed's fallen in the ground. That's obvious. But you haven't let it die. You're pining away in grief. You're trying to rescue it, calling it forth. You're trying to do this, that, all of the fearfulness of yourself, trying to bring it forward, bring it back. So I said, oh, Father, I'm sorry. It's dead. I let it die. It's dead. It's dead. It's dead. It's dead. It's dead. I went home and told Cammie. I said, Cammie, the revival's dead. She looked at me like, well, yeah, when did you realize that? I mean, I could have told you that 3 years ago. It's dead. It blew up. Boom. You go, no, I let it die. And then she's really looking at me like, okay. That continued the journey of learning that the words spoken are not for me to perform. They're for me to believe, to me to enjoy the hope that they fill me a life with. And when the hope dissipates, then the words has lost its place. And then when the hope is back alive, there comes this freshness that says, hey, guess what, guys? We're ready. We're ready. I'm ready. And we're going, well, I'm not. That's your song. It's coming. For everyone in this room, everyone. I said this to a meeting just between services. When a time like this comes, everybody comes front. Everybody takes their place. Everybody begins to advance. The young, the old, all generations, they begin to go shoulder to shoulder. Everyone is confident in what God has said to them about them, and they love who they are in Him. No longer looking to the left or the right to try to figure out who they are or what they want to do. They look to Him and find out who they are and what they're going to do. And all of a sudden, it starts coming alive. One, two, three, like popcorn in a kettle. It just boom, 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 boom. And all of a sudden, we stand up. We don't know how we all got here, but we all got here. Because God started all our journeys a long time ago to bring us all here at this moment. Oh, this moment. It's going to be a moment you talk about. It's going to be a moment you talk about. You're going to say, were you there? Were you there when the Lord came and took over and brought the crowds of people that we had to take care of, disciple, love, and get them into their journey? Everybody looked at that day as the best day, but you know what? The best days were the days before, the days where we surrendered and we came back in peace. We heard, we listened again, and no matter how tall the walls were, we knew that God could just smash them to the ground. And when that confidence came, and then one day the shout rose, and we just went forward, did what was in front of us, and God got all the glory, and the inheritance was unlocked. Dear Father, I thank you. I thank you for this holy moment. I know there's much to be unpacked in the weeks ahead. I'm so glad that you let me come back next week. For our Sundays, for our High Priest Jesus. I release to everyone in this room and everyone online the same Holy Spirit freedom to settle into the sound of the most beautiful voice we'll ever hear, the voice of our beloved Jesus, to agree with His words, no matter how many years, decades have gone by. No longer rigid in the way it has to be. Not fighting for it to come back, but receiving it to go forward. I bless these glorious days. Sons and daughters, everyone in this room, everyone online, chosen by God, set on a path, brought to this time for such a glorious moment. Heal our hearts where they've been broken. Open our eyes where we've lost our sight. Open the prison doors where we've been put in captivity. Bring liberty to where we have become oppressed. Let the sound of Jubilee, the true sound of your heart, of liberty, of inheritance, be heard again. May the good news lift our feet and our dance return. We thank you for what you're doing, Father. We thank you for what you're doing. The greatest outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the history of the world has begun. We bless you for what you're going to bring forth in it, and we're grateful that you've saved us, rescued us, and placed us back on the highway of holiness, where joy and singing and sorrow and sighing flee away, and we return to Zion. May it be this week and through this time for each of us, every one of us, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Bless you guys. Thank you.